future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Today we have a very special show. We're going to be passing it over to my co-host, Jess Holgrave. Jess has her own special guest on the show. She has Ingrid Lafleur. Ingrid is the co-founder and chief community officer at EOS Detroit. So with that in mind, I'm going to pass it over to the more than capable hands of Jess Holgrave. So let's get down to business and let's jump into the interview.
Hi everyone, I'm Jess Holgrave and I'm really excited to be guest hosting on the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. I'm a co-founder of Sheos, an EOS block producer with a mission to bring women and diversity into blockchain. On Thursdays, I'm bringing stories from interesting women working in the blockchain space to tell you about them and their background and draw some attention to the great work they're doing. You can follow me on Twitter at JessieBlock to send me suggestions of women that you would like to hear from. This week, I am joined by Ingrid Lafleur, who is the co-founder and chief community officer of EOS Detroit. I was fortunate enough to be hosted by Ingrid for a day last September when I visited Detroit, and I had such a fun time, so I'm really excited to catch up with her today. Ingrid, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jess.
So I'm going to start a little bit kind of from the beginning. You are an artist, a curator. You once ran for mayor of Detroit. Talk me through that journey and ultimately how you ended up involved in crypto.
Sure. Yes, I'm a curator. I've been a curator for almost 20 years now. And my area of expertise is Afrofuturism. And so for those of you who don't know about that, it is basically a cultural movement that looks at the Black experience through the lens of speculative modalities like fantasy and science fiction and magical realism and horror. And we look at ancient African diasporic mythologies, legends, cosmologies, and the intersection of race and science and race and technology. And I think that is the part that I'm kind of exploring more, looking at emerging tech and how that can create more prosperity for marginalized communities. I got to this point, though. I was curator, and then I decided to run for mayor of Detroit because I didn't feel like curating was enough of a social impact. And I wanted real-world ways to implement Afrofuturism to really make sure that Detroit was progressing in a really healthy way where everyone was along for that journey. And during that time, I started exploring ideas around universal basic income and looking at it, the possibility of Detroit creating their own cryptocurrency. And I put that in a plan of action, sent it out into the world. Of course, it was really for Detroiters, but the entire world decided to descend upon me and found me. And it's been a great journey. A lot of people have been kind enough to seek me out and really sit down and talk to me about what blockchain and cryptocurrency is. You know, Rob Konstorf is the CEO of EOS Detroit, and he did this really wonderful thing of really breaking down the different ideas behind EOS and really explaining Dan Larimer's vision of a nonviolent government and economic system. And that really appealed to me, that resonated with everything that I had ran on as a mayor and everything that I do as a curator and an artist. And so I just spent months being extremely lost in the Detroit Blockchainers meetup group, listening to a bunch of techie people talking about techie things and within blockchain. And over time, it started clicking. I say the philosophy behind it really helped me a whole bunch to kind of humanize the tech. And that's when I realized that I really want to be able to share this and make sure that marginalized communities especially know that it exists and how it could totally benefit their own worlds and communities, and hopefully create more ownership and power and transparency that I think we all need in our lives.
Amazing. I'm going to talk a little bit more about EOS Detroit with you in a moment, but I kind of want to go back to this idea of Afrofuturism and its relationship with blockchain technology. Can you talk me through a little bit about the intersection of those things?
Yeah, you know, that's something that I'm honestly exploring at the moment. This is new territory, quite honestly. So as an Afrofuturist, you know, I am coming from a very different kind of point of origin. I come from a place where we look at like the beginning of human life. The oldest human remains, for instance, were found in Africa. And from a black woman, her name is Dinkanesh. In the West, they call her Lucy. So if we come from that place of Africa where it's abundant and resource rich, then we're thinking about human behavior from a point of like cooperation and kind of collective work. And it becomes a place of abundance instead of scarcity. And I think that for me is my lens with blockchain technology. It's almost as if it's kind of open up this door and kind of allowing everyone to kind of access a level of ownership and power that we haven't had yet, especially within the digital space. And so that alone to me signals, okay, this is coming from, or I'm hoping it's coming from a place of abundance, that there is a lot for all of us, and all of us could become prosperous. We don't really need these kind of centralized systems to determine who can and cannot enter and participate and be included. So blockchain technology just kind of opens that up. And that really is, that alone is like deeply resonates with me. And it really helps to create more efficiency when it comes to decentralized collective work or cooperatives. It can really help kind of uplift those initiatives, which I'm seeing a lot in Detroit. A lot of people are coming together to really fill in the gaps that government can't seem to address or properly address in the way that communities want them to. And so this is a way, you know, especially through, you know, tools like a DAC can really help people to take control and to say, okay, this is what we really want. And this is, you know, we're going to create it together. And now we have the tools to create the transparency and the efficiency to make that happen. That really excites me. I think the other thing is, you know, if we're thinking about the history of just Black Americans alone in the United States and how financial institutions are constantly redlining, meaning they're making certain, we'll just say, properties unavailable to Black-bodied people because they're seen as a risk within the financial space. So the peer-to-peer aspect has a lot of potential to really address or, you know, create a system where we don't have to rely on these kinds of institutions that have structural racism and have caused historic trauma within just the Black American community alone. I'm sure many of us have been traumatized by these institutions in some way, shape, or form, and how they really have almost decimated the growth of our communities instead of really uplifting and encouraging them. So that peer-to-peer aspect and the transparency, all of those things, you know, really can address a lot of the issues that, you know, we're facing in marginalized communities. And Afrofuturism has always been a way to do that in a very creative mode. And so now I'm just, you know, constantly thinking about, you know, what are the ways that they intersect and how can Afrofuturism actually help grow the blockchain ecosystem and hopefully influence some of the innovation within the space. I really do think that we need more diverse voices and cultures, backgrounds, and perspectives to really make blockchain, you know, come to its fullest fruition, whatever that may be.
Fabulous. Some of the things you mentioned reminded me of other things. That I'm a big fan of Nyla Rogers, who runs Mama Hope, and she ran the Satoshi is Female campaign, and she always talks about blockchain being inherently female and collaborative and communal, and this idea of abundance. And I know I always love working in this space because I think there's this real feeling of not being part of a zero-sum game, where there is enough for everyone and we can create enough for everyone, and we're not battling for resources. And so I really love those concepts. So I'm going to ask you a little bit now about EOS Detroit. You mentioned Rob. Can you tell me a little bit more about the team and also what, I guess, distinguishes you as a block producer?
Sure. So EOS Detroit, we're a block producer for EOS and Telos and Warbly. And we were brought together by Rob Konstorf. I'm sure many of you have heard of him. He's this amazing, just amazing individual who can definitely make blockchain technology more accessible, and has lived between Flint and Detroit for many years and really saw how they were just totally decimated because of government policies and other kinds of these economic oppression. And as the result, was really inspired to not only create this, block producer, but company, but also to bring together a very diverse team of people. There are 12 of us, so that we could really figure out what are the ways that we can support Detroit and hopefully many cities within the region, so that we can really help and kind of create more avenues of prosperity. And so it's that vision that really kind of inspires all of us. We are definitely a wonderful mix of people, and I call them my family. I'm the only woman on the team, so that's fun. And thankfully, my team members are super forward thinking and are able and very open minded. And many of us are born and raised Detroiters. And then some of us are just born and, raised in the area. And we do have a couple members who are not from Detroit at all, but have a deep love for it. We tend to kind of center on Detroit, recognizing all the challenges that it's facing. We really want to create, want to see how something that's been used on a global scale like a DAC could really help Detroit. So we're looking at supporting this initiative that's been going on for a little over a year, and it's gone through the Equitable Internet Initiative, EII is the organization that started putting up point-to-point systems in various lower-income neighborhoods in Detroit. Detroit right now has 40% of Detroit does not have access to broadband. And so, when we're talking about really making sure that Detroit grows and is part of, the future, when almost half of our population doesn't have access to really good internet, that's a really big problem. And also if we, just thinking selfishly about EOS, if we're thinking about widespread adoption, and really making sure that people are participating, we need to make sure that people have access to the internet to not only just participate in the wonderful dApps that have been coming out, but also to hopefully learn to become a dev, start learning how to code and really start innovating within the space. So, our support of this point-to-point system looks like creating a decentralized autonomous community that we are co-designing at the moment with community leaders. And soon we'll be, kind of opening that up once we kind of decide on things collectively. We're very excited about thinking about what does a DAC do locally, you know, on the ground in a grassroots way, and how can that help support this point-to-point system, incentivize more people to participate, and then hopefully, you know, with the complementary currency that's created, we could create this really wonderful parallel economy that really support that local area within Detroit and local businesses in general. What we found, we had a bit of an assumption, at least I did as the community officer, that maybe not enough Detroiters know about cryptocurrency and don't really have access to understanding about it. But what we're finding is that more and more people do have crypto, but they just don't really have a place to spend it. So our first goal is to make sure that local businesses are accepting cryptocurrency, of course, EOS, and making sure we're educating local businesses how that could be beneficial to them. And then from there, we're hoping when we are able to launch our DAC, the system, there's an ecosystem that's already put in place to further support and encourage people to participate in the parallel economy.
I think that's awesome. And I read another interview that you had given, and you talked about, you know, these things that are happening in Detroit being kind of like experiments that can hopefully then be applied elsewhere. And I love that sort of relationship between you guys as a block producer, which is very focused on Detroit, but, you know, taking then the lessons that you learn that can help places all over the world. I think that's awesome. Yes. And when I visited you guys last year, I was so surprised at just how, you know, like buzzing and cool the city was. You know, that's a bit of a confession, but I think it's often portrayed by the outside media as, you know, maybe being a little lifeless, but actually it was just incredible. And so there's obviously a ton of change happening in the city, and it's really cool to see, you know, EOS and particularly EOS Detroit, you know, being central to that.
Yeah, you know, Detroit has been growing by leaps and bounds. We have people moving here in droves, which is, you know, really wonderful. We just want to make sure that, you know, there is a balance. So what you'll find, there are certain areas of Detroit, they're definitely bustling with brand new restaurants and boutiques and wonderful hotels. But there are, you know, large pockets of the city that are struggling. And so we just really are constantly like, how do we make sure that there is a balance? Right now, our poverty rate is over 40%. If you add the working poor, it's nearly 60%. So, you know, and as much as it's growing, there's still a lot of work to do. And we're just hoping as a Black producer, we can just do our small part.
Yeah, I think it's making sure, you know, that everybody comes along with that journey, that is so important, and I know that you guys are doing great work on that. I love the Equitable Internet Initiative, and I know that the other thing that you guys are working on right now, I read about it, is this project called Meringue. Is that right?
Yes, the slicing pie. We have a dynamic equity split in our company, and so we're creating this product so that we could see in real time this equity split, and hopefully it will help to keep everything nice and organized. So yes, the meringue is what we're working on, and we're hoping, you know, we're definitely inspired by our own company and having the need for that product, but we're really hoping it will be helpful for other people in all types of industries and companies.
Amazing. I think that's going to be super useful too. You know, one of the things that we touched on earlier that makes EOS so remarkable is that it is a governed blockchain. And mm-hmm. we talked, you mentioned as well, this idea of diversity being necessary to make sure that we do that right. What are the other things that you think about in the context of a governed blockchain that we need to be doing to make sure that this is going to serve everyone?
Yeah, I think one of the things is to make sure that as we're onboarding people, that they have a deep understanding of what it means to participate in a governed blockchain, how to. You know, there's a lot of education that needs to take place, and probably there's more that needs to be taking place for the current token holders as well. I think for it to be very an effective and sufficient system, we need to have as many people participating, but really having an understanding of what they're participating in and how it all works.
Yeah, I think that's true. I even, you know, at events when you meet EOS holders, you know, their understanding of what they can do as an EOS holder and their rights to vote and all of that sort of thing is often, you know, there's just not the kind of all the comprehension there. So I think there is a huge amount of education to be done too. So, you know, as you mentioned, the only woman in EOS Detroit, I know that you do a lot of work with women. And while I was there, you hosted a fabulous women's breakfast club. You know, aside from just increasing diversity and all those sorts of things, I think it's super that you run those sorts of things. Do you have any advice or things that you would say to women who are listening to the podcast who are interested in the crypto space? How do they make a move and learn more?
Oh man. Well, I think first thing is to definitely, if you're in the US or if you have meetup groups or clubs that are focused on blockchain and crypto, I definitely believe starting there, because that's a community of people, which means that you're going to get a variety of perspectives around blockchain and crypto, which is really helpful and really kind of grasping the entire, you know, fast-paced, ever-evolving industry. I think the other thing is definitely bring a friend. You know, I have to say that I need to do that more often, but there's so many times that I'm the only woman in the room, and I try my hardest to invite other women with me, even if they have no idea what's going on. Sometimes they come and they sit and they listen and they find it interesting. I don't want to underestimate people's capacity to grasp certain concepts, right? So I think it's really important to like grab a friend, tell your girlfriends, meet up together and figure out, you know, why this could be really important for women, how this is very important, empowering for us. I find that when it's just women in the room, you get a different kind of conversation and different kinds of questions that maybe, you know, they might not feel comfortable asking in a room full of men. So it's, you know, it's been Blockchain Babes is the name of the group, and it's been really wonderful having the group and informing all these different women about blockchain technology. I think at the end of the day, it's really about awareness, because blockchain technology is going to disrupt so many different industries and different facets within those industries. If anything else, just making sure that our communities, especially our women, know that that's coming and how maybe to prepare for that, maybe learn and gain more skills, you know, read more. I love Medium is a great resource for all the different ideas and writings around blockchain and crypto. But yeah, I think it's really important for all of us who are active within this space as women to make sure that we're bringing other women along. Excellent. With us.
So there is, I'm playing a game at the moment with all my interviewees. There is a big announcement coming from Block One on June 1st that a lot of people are talking about. I'm going to give a prize to the interviewee who guesses the closest to what this is. So I need from you, Ingrid, a guess about what the Block One announcement might be.
Oh man, I'm just okay. What are you going
to the event? Are I don't know. Know. I might try.
No, please come. It's going to be fun. I want to go definitely. So I know that there's rumor about possibly a tool for DAX. So I'm wondering maybe that could be the thing. Yeah, that will make it easier for people to create decentralized autonomous
awesome.
Communities.
Great guess. We haven't heard that one yet. So that's good. Now I also always finish with a round of kind of quick fire questions. And so you don't have to think too hard on these ones. Are you a late night person or an early morning person?
Early morning, unless I partied the night before.
If you're an animal, what would you be? Maybe a party animal.
Oh, let's see. What would I be? I would Amazing. Be a unicorn.
What's your favorite food?
gumbo. It's Louisiana Creole. Kind of stew Yum. Called gumbo.
And mm-hmm. who is your kind of most inspirational historical kind of figure or icon?
I'm in love with Alice Coltrane. She was born and raised in Detroit, a jazz musician. She played the harp and piano. Eventually married John Coltrane and changed his life. She became Hindu and opened an ashram in California. So you can imagine the music was a mixture of this like influence of Detroit gospel and the Hindu, oh my traditional God. Hindu music. Amazing. Pretty interesting. So Alice, yeah, I love Alice Coltrane. She was all about transcending this human existence, and I like that reminder Amazing. As a meditation.
And finally, who is your favorite person to follow on crypto Twitter?
Oh man. Wow. Okay, let's see. Who is my favorite person? Goodness, there's a couple of really fun people that I think are pretty controversial. I don't want to get in trouble though.
You can tell me them offline. You can tell me them offline. Maybe you should. Maybe EOS Detroit is your favorite people to follow for this.
Yes, EOS Detroit is the best to follow on Twitter.
And so, thank you so much, Ingrid, for being here today. How do people find you and follow you if they want to know more?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm under Ingrid LaFleur. Instagram, Maison LaFleur. That's M-A-I-S-O-N LaFleur. And I'm on Facebook and pretty accessible there. That's where we post all of our wonderful events. So please follow EOS Detroit as well on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And we have a Telegram channel, which is the easiest and fastest way to reach me for
Amazing.
EOS Detroit.
And I think if anybody is listening who ends up finds themselves in Detroit, you know, it's well worth getting in touch with the EOS Detroit team. I know how friendly and welcoming I found it there. So I encourage anyone else to do the same.
Yes. Yes, please do. We love showing people around.
Ingrid,
Detroit.
Thank you so much. It's been lovely speaking with you today. And I hope everything with EOS Detroit continues to go really well.
Thank you, Jess, and the same for Shios.
I want to thank you all so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, make sure to subscribe to the SVK Crypto podcast. And if you haven't already, hit us up on Telegram, SVK space crowd. Hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. And if you have any questions or queries, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. That's a wrap, and I've got to bounce.